In the first book of Samuel, we read of a great, very old, experienced high priest called Eli. He was the high priest in those days. You read about him even in the very first chapter. There was Eli was the priest in those days. And then when you come into chapter three, there was a small boy, chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. There was a small boy, I don't know how old he was, probably 7 or 8 years old. This small boy was just serving Eli. Eli was a man who had grown up sons, he's probably 60 years old. So here was a 60-year-old man who knows the Old Testament laws and a priest and all that, and here's this 7, 8-year-old boy serving Eli, you know, doing things for him. And one day, it says here in 1 Samuel 3 verse 4, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel was asleep and maybe at 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, he heard a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And he thought it was Eli calling him. He runs up to Eli and said, "Here I am." Verse 5, "You called me." And Eli woke up and said, "No, I didn't call you." So Samuel went back to sleep. He thought he was just dreaming. And as he lay down, he again heard the voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And again he went to Eli. "I heard you." "No," he says, "I didn't call you." And it says in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time. "Samuel, Samuel." He wakes up and he goes to Eli and says, "I heard you call me." And then Eli realized, verse 8, last part, that the Lord was speaking to Samuel. The Lord was not speaking to 60-year-old Eli, who knew the Bible, who knew so many things, and who was a main priest in that land. He was talking to this small boy, I don't know, 7 or 8 year old Samuel. And so Eli told him, verse 9, "Next time you hear that voice saying, 'Samuel, Samuel,' just say," verse 9, "'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So the fourth time, the Lord came and said, "Samuel, Samuel," verse 10, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And the Lord spoke to Samuel just like a man speaks to his friend. Oh, what a wonderful experience. Remember that when we thought of what I said in Hebrews 8, that it's from the least to the greatest that God speaks. God bypassed the 60-year-old Eli and spoke to him, 7, 8-year-old child. Because children's hearts are so simple and purer, the hearts of grown-up people. We have so many anxieties and fears and worries in our mind. We have so many impurities in our mind, older people, which little children don't have. So it's so easy for them to hear. I wish you would tell all your children, you who have small children. I wish all of you children are listening to me, will listen to this. Do you know that God wants to speak to you? Do you know that Jesus wants to speak to your heart? Jesus doesn't speak only to Zach Poonen and to your parents. He wants to speak to you, my dear little boy, my dear little girl. I want you to know that. He spoke to little Samuel. Why won't he speak to you? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to encourage all of you children who are listening to me to have a heart that says, "Lord Jesus, I want to hear you speak to me." It's not the voice that we hear in our ears. In our heart, he will speak to you. So, all can know the Lord. That's the second blessing of the new covenant. Everybody least to greatest can personally know. You don't have to be 20-year-old to call your father daddy. That 2-year-old, as soon as he begins to speak, he says, Dad, Daddy. So you don't have to be a great saint to call God your father. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, if you're not familiar with that, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, whenever you pray, he said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. Nobody in the Old Testament would ever say that. Not even the great prophets. They would only say, oh God Almighty. But here Jesus came and said, don't say, oh God Almighty. Say, Daddy, Father, our Father who art in heaven. There are two things there. One, he is our Father, which means he loves you so much. More than any person in the world loves you, I want you to know that God, your Father, loves you. And the second thing I want you to know is, he's in heaven. He runs this universe. That means he can do anything. There's nothing he cannot do. He created this vast universe by speaking a word. What is there he cannot do? He owns all the silver and gold in all the world. What need of yours is there he cannot supply? It's wonderful to know a Father who loves us and who rules from heaven and rules the whole universe. This is the blessing that Jesus came to give us, to know God intimately. Do you know God intimately as your Father? Think of your earthly father. All of you have an earthly father. At some time, maybe you don't know if your father is dead, perhaps, but you did speak to your father. How intimate it was, particularly when you were a child. You could cling to him. You crossed the street, he would hold your hand. Wonderful to know a father like that. I want to ask you, my dear brother, sister, do you know God like that? You know, nobody taught me this when I was first born again. I knew him as God. I would say, Our Father who art in heaven. In fact, I repeated that prayer even before I was born again. My parents taught that to me, to repeat that prayer every morning. But I didn't know God as a father. It took a long time for me to know God is my Father who cares for me. That brought a tremendous security in my life. Before I knew God as my Father, I would feel discouraged, so much of discouragement. My number one sin in my life for 16 years after I was born again was getting discouraged. A lot of people don't think that it was a sin. They think adulterous thoughts and bad thoughts about others, those are sins. Yeah, those are all sins, but to get discouraged. It's a sin because it's like saying God doesn't care for me. It's like a 5-year-old saying, Dad, I don't know whether you care for me. Imagine if your 5-year-old comes to a dad and says, I don't know whether you care for me. How the father will feel insulted. My little boy thinks I don't care for him. My little girl thinks I don't care for her. It's an insult to the father. That's how we insult God when we think he doesn't. That is discouragement. Oh, I don't know whether he cares for me. And the other problem I had was condemning myself. Oh, this is wrong with me. That is wrong. I know this is wrong with me. That's wrong with me. But you don't gain anything by condemning yourself. You say, Lord, this is wrong with me, but you will deliver me from it. He came to deliver us. And God does not want us to live condemning ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. How will you ever grow if you keep on saying, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. No, none of us are good enough, but God loves us. That's what we should be saying. I have this little board in front of my table. Let me show it to you. I've shown it before many times. You see carefully, this is a no entry road sign. And the two roads you must never enter in your life are discouragement and self-condemnation. Please remember this picture always. It's a no-entry road. When you see that sign in front of a road, what do? If you go in, you'll have a collision. When you go into these two roads, you'll be colliding all the time. Discouragement, self-condemnation. I want you to know God does not want you to have either of those. Those are no entry roads. God says, I love you. I care for you. You have received Jesus as your Savior. You want to turn from your sin. I gave you that desire, God says. And you have really wanted to turn. You've sincerely asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you. You believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, that his blood was shed to cleanse you from your sin. Then there's no need for you to condemn yourself. Romans chapter 8 is a very important verse, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Please remember, it's easy to remember, it's the first verse of Romans chapter 8. Can you remember that? There are 16 chapters in Romans, divided by 2, chapter 8, and the first verse. Easy to remember. Romans 8, 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you receive Christ, Christ comes into you and you come into Christ. There is no condemnation. There may be many things wrong in you. You will slowly improve. A child, for example, does not know how to walk, does not know how to talk, does not know how to eat properly, is spilling his food all the time. We're like that as children. Which father gets upset with his child because he doesn't talk properly or walk properly or eat properly, spills the food on the table? If an earthly father can be patient with his children, don't you think a heavenly father is a million times more patient with his children who are trying to please him, trying to live a good life like all of you are? Why do you allow the devil to discourage you? Why do you allow the devil to make you condemn yourself? No entry roads. Discouragement and self-condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ.